You know, God's good. God's good. Now, here's what the point is to this. Is in 1 Corinthians 14:26, it says, "How is it, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." Look, it's not just like an orator up here. We're a body, and the body can only function. I mean, the head is not separate from the body. We need each other. I mean, when I came in here this morning, Rick didn't say, "Oh, there's Tom and his head." No, we're one. The same way that we are one with Christ, who is the head of all things to the church. And we are part of him, and he is part of us. And we are part of each other. So be ready to, because like Beth and Sherry said last week, look, when you share something, it hits somebody else, and it means something to them, and then it becomes bigger and bigger, and they start fellowshipping over that. Then they have another, they have a revelation that they can share with all of us. So really, it's all of us together. I mean, there has to be a head to it. You know, in one, because anything that has more than one head is a freak. So just for order's sake, there has to be somebody who's holding the line of responsibility and accountability. So, and we are accountable here for what we say, how we handle the business of this church and everything. You know, I remember when we first started the church and offerings started coming in, and I was saying, "Lord, this is an awesome responsibility and all this money." He says, "Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that, because you're going to account for every penny of it." And do you know what? We can. We can account for every penny that's come into this church since the beginning. We have two accountants, actually. And so there's accountability, there's balance to it, and we're happy. We don't even, you know... It's good. Praise God. Are you ready to blast off here? Our series is Divine Keys. These are not natural human keys. These are divine keys that unlock a very real kingdom to us. That's the kingdom of heaven. It's what Jesus talked about for 3.5 years, the kingdom of heaven. And we talked about meditation keys. I kept saying medication, but meditation keys, keys come to us, are revealed through meditating on the Word of God. And then we talked about revelation keys that last week. We talked about the keys of revelation. Revelation is how the church was designed to function in the earth, believe it or not. It's the way we were designed to work, through wisdom and revelation knowledge. We have it says that Jesus is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So all of that rolled into one. When you receive Jesus, his wisdom became available to you. He is made unto us wisdom. So wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And this is a spirit, and should be capital S, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God, that the eyes of your understanding would be flooded with light, that you would know three things: the hope that he's called you to, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You have an inheritance laid up for you, and you don't have to wait to heaven to get it. You can tap into it now through revelation knowledge and faith. And it also takes humility and gratitude. All of those things. But the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of God, that you may know the hope that you call to, the riches of your inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. That's resurrection power, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named. Not only there, but here. Amen? Everybody say, it's here. His power is here. It's given to me. It's mine. Amen. You walk in the power of revelation knowledge. And today, we are talking about declaration keys. When we say something, it activates things. When we say God's word, it activates God himself, because the word is God. Amen? Amen. And by the way, we started off the progression. This is all like intertwined. Meditation is involved in revelation. Meditation is involved in declaration. When Peter saw that Jesus is, he's the Messiah. And when Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Paul, you know, Peter, I mean, he's going to say whatever comes, you know. And he's like, you're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. And what happened? He got a new identity. Jesus gave him a new name, Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, and you are Peter, a little rock. And upon this massive rock of revelation knowledge of who I am, I'm going to build my church. He is the rock. He's the very foundation of everything, not Peter. That would be a pretty unstable foundation. But Jesus is the foundation. And when you know who he is, guess what you got? You got some keys. So meditation is involved in all aspects of revelation and in the things that we declare. We need to declare the things that are revealed to us. Amen. Meditation is how we prosper in all things in life. That's the formula for success that was revealed in Joshua chapter 1. So that word, as we meditate on it and fill our hearts with the word and mull it over in our minds, speak it with our mouth, let it fill our imagination with God's images that are in his word, and just let that thing well up in us, transformation comes. Our belief system is transformed in an accelerated way when we meditate on the word of God. And if your belief system is transformed, you are transformed. Yeah. Thank you, Alichka. Praise God. You know, one of the best things that you can do, one of them is pray for those who speak into your life. Because if you do that, you're forming a partnership in the spirit that is a divine relationship. And that divine relationship is something that God, so pray for me, like Leah was saying, pray for me. And as you do, God will have the ability to change what I say to really fit what you need. So it's you do yourself a favor. It's not so much for me. I mean, I pray, but I need your prayers. Paul needed the prayers of his people too. He would write to his partners. Those letters, by the way, in the New Testament, those are partner letters. They were, you know, he considered them his partners, all of them. They were all precious to him. The word has something called a pounding effect. It just does. It is a dominating force. And it has a pounding effect. And when it goes into your spirit, it starts driving out those paradigms and mindsets and perceptions and everything that the devil has worked so hard to build into your life, to ruin your hope, to ruin your expectations, to bring you into bondages. And the word of God starts getting down there and starts pounding it like one of those jackhammers. Boom, 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 smashing all of that concrete and rock and rubble that has blinded your mind from the truth. Blinded your mind from the gospel. That is the power of God. And if your mind is blinded from the gospel, then you don't expect the power of God to actually work for you, because it's loaded down with concrete. But you know what? God just, he gives you his word. And the word is the watering of the word. And it comes down and starts melting all that concrete. And God starts to sweep. And he changes those paradigms and rearranges them. And those mindsets that were twisting the truth and twisting the word of God and putting all the load on you that you have to do this and you have to do this. Religion will teach you that. That you have to live up to the standard. No, you have to accept Jesus. He's already done everything that's needed for your salvation, for your blessing, for you to walk in faith, for you to enjoy God. Jesus has already done everything. Praise God. And all he's asked us to do is believe. Believe. The Philippian jailer said to Paul, what do I have to do to be saved? What is this? And he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. See, it's the spirit of faith. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I have believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Declaration is part of, it's not just important for us to speak what we believe and to declare it. It is necessary. Amen. You know, you can't get born again without speaking what you believe. Romans chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, what does it say? The word is near you, even in your heart and your mouth. That's the word of faith which we preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. For it is with the heart man believes. This is not a head thing. This is not mental, cerebral. I was a drugged out rock and roller. I was not what you would refer to as a cerebral giant. Not even by the stretch. I was not there at all. This, if I can get this, anybody can get this. That's what I'm saying. Let's get into our weekly confession here, okay? And let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Well, praise the Lord. We're going to find some keys today. Keys of declaration. You know, one thing we can be sure of is that our words can help every situation. Amen. Every future event. What you guys shared last week was so precious. I can share this with the kids. Yeah. But that was so good. We may be on a certain page here, and we may not be happy with it, but, you know, the book keeps on going on. We are writing this thing. The book of Acts never had a period on the end. It never ended. We are co-authoring the rest of the book of Acts with our life, with Jesus, with the Holy Spirit now. And when we get to that page, the words we speak now will come to life. So powerful. When Beth shared that, the tense of the words, which said, when Jesus said, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And that means when you shall have been, in other words, when you get to that future point where you need it, that word is alive. It's living. It's already rooted and it's flourishing and it's producing. Benjamin is going to be fine. He's going to be fine. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I have peace about that. But here's the thing is when you're filled, you know, we were singing that song this morning. Phil, thank you for that worship this morning. It was so. Mm. Thanks. But It says, I've seen revival in the streets. You know when that's going to happen? When we get out in the streets and start declaring the word of God and start praying and start vocalizing. When we get out in the streets, people are going to say, they're nuts. Yeah, well, what are you doing that's so good? What do you have all together? Let the Holy Spirit do that. You can't criticize people. But the Holy Spirit can reveal to them that they have a need. How's that? And I'm thinking like, this is happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's good. Praise God. You know, but you can influence people. You can restore people's hope with your words. Amen. You can put them back on track. You can show them that there is a cause. There is a reason. There is a purpose to keep going on. Because here's Craig Hagin. Craig Hagin is Kenneth Hagin's grandson. And he had some health, he got through it. He had some health issues earlier too in his life. But he wrote a little snippet here in the Word of Faith magazine a few years ago. And it was this. He said, once I read the story of a father who ran to his son's school to check on him after a powerful earthquake hit the area where they lived. When the father arrived at the school, he found nothing but a pile of rubble and debris. You can imagine what the devil was saying. He's gone. He's dead. As other parents stood crying, the father began to dig. People told him it was useless. They tried to pull him away, but he kept at it, stone by stone, beam by beam. You know, sometimes you think you're working alone. Yes. Sometimes you have to start working alone. Beam by beam. He dug through the night and into the next day. Finally, he heard a voice cry, Papa! As he furiously continued to dig, eventually he saw the face of his young son. He and his young son said, I told the other kids not to worry. He said, because you told me, Father, that you'd always be there for me. This is far-reaching. The father was faithful to his promise. And don't miss this. The son believed him.
Yes.
And that truth, that promise from his father was so embedded in him that when it came out, it transferred that hope to his friends, the other kids who were trapped under that rubble. And they were protected. And I believe this, that as he told them in their faith, and they started to believe that he's going to come, that that faith started pulling him, keeping him on the job, keeping him following through, keeping him going. Your faith, God responds to faith. It pleases him. And he'll dig through rubble. He will walk across oceans. He will do anything for you. Anything. Hasn't he already given everything for you?
Amen.
Why would he stop now? Isn't that a wonderful story? Your faith in God can help other people stand through times of trial, stand through times of struggle. When everything looks hopeless, their family looks hopeless, their husband, their wife, their kids, everything looks hopeless. Well, you know what? Without God, everything is hopeless. Without God, there is no power. There's no strength to do anything. There's no hope without God. I mean, look at this life. What does this life promise us? Death. That's all it promises. Jesus rose from the dead and he showed us by the resurrection, there's a lot more to this than the eye can see. There's a lot more love and promises and hope and faith, because the Father said, through Jesus, I will never leave you nor forsake you till the end of the world. The world can end, but my words won't. Praise God. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, the Lord said to Joshua, actually he said through Joshua to the entire tribe of the children of Israel, to all the children of Israel, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know, God's not about people being broke or poor. God's not about people being sick and tired and wondering, fretting and worrying and fearful about where the next meal is coming from, how they're going to pay their rent, how they're going to tie all these strings together and get to go, you know, where they need to be. And God's not about that. He has nothing but success, and not just good success for his people. And if you can't get that, just take this verse and let it renew your mind. Let it transform your belief system so that you believe about what God says about you. You will make your way prosperous and you will have good success. And there's a formula for God's kind of success, and it's meditating on his word and putting it into practice. And I think one thing we all desire is to have a successful, fruitful, prosperous life. And this is God's formula for it, to meditate on his word. I know people shy away from the word formula. Call it a principle then. It's a principle. It's a law of the Spirit. This spiritual law, this is not just theory. It's spiritual law. And I think the Lord is calling. This is the 24 is the year of the open door. And, you know, it's always been open, but God is emphasizing that to us now because he's making it easier and easier and easier for us to walk through the doors that we need to walk through in order to put behind us everything that is still trying to talk to us, still trying to pull us back, pull us down, pull us out. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I remember a few weeks ago on the New Year's Eve service, we had those little 3x5 cards and everything right there. You know, many times Christians write the same resolutions every year. Now we're in the third week, and I think 95% of the world's New Year's resolutions have kind of evaporated. Amen? What do you think? You know, the first week of January, you see the parking lots of all the workout spas, the gyms and everything fill. And by February, they're only half full. It kinds of just dwindles, you know. But what happens is that we get all charged up and say, okay, I'm turning the corner. No, you won't. No. But you and God can.
Yeah.
And when you commit to God something, like you're committing yourself. I mean, when you jump out of an airplane with a parachute, you're putting all your trust in that parachute.
Yes.
Right? Trust God that way. I remember my brother one time had a little cyst on his back. It looked like a golf ball was right under his skin. And he went up for prayer one Sunday laid hands on him and everything. And, you know, he had a peace about it. But the thing never went away. So finally he made an appointment for the doctor. The doctor did an incision, drained it, and he was all set. My brother was on the way home. He said, Lord, how come that didn't happen when I prayed? You know what the Lord told him? This is one thing that all the preachers who want to excuse everything don't want to hear. He said, because you didn't believe me. If you went up when hands were laid on you with the same assurance as you went to that doctor,
wow,
you'd have been healed.
Wow.
You know what God told me here? He said, when you sign the lease on this building and put yourself in for hundreds of thousands of dollars for future rent payment and everything, he says, it doesn't take any more faith for you to do that than to raise the dead.
Wow.
Faith is faith.
Yes.
It's God's faith. It comes from God. It is his. It is a real thing. You need to say what he says. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. The door to the supernatural operates. It swings on two hinges, believing and speaking. Praise God.
Amen.
But what happens is after this New Year's resolution, the devil gets in there and he starts to steal a little time here, a little distraction here, starts to steal our time so that we don't spend that time in the Word of God that we just committed to. We don't spend that time meditating on it. And then what happens is, let me encourage you, don't let Satan rob you from the very thing that will give you good success in this life. Don't let him rob your time. If you committed to the Lord, I'm going to spend this time. I don't care what happens. I am going to do this. This is God's time with me. This is my time with him. We're going to have fellowship. I'm going to have fellowship with the Father during this time. Praise God. Where did our time go? All right. Declaration. Words. You got to know the nature of words. Words are eternal. They are not subject to time. In fact, words dominate time. Time is, God created time. He's not subject to time, it's subject to him. Words, in fact, Jesus told us that words are eternal. They never evaporate, they never fade away with time. They are always there. In fact, he said this in Matthew 12, 26, I believe, or 36. He said, for every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. When we stand there, our words are going to be right there. How does that happen? Because words are eternal. They do not go away. You know, you can say, oh, wow. But look at the way God looks at it. See, he designed us. He designed us to speak and to operate in his word to benefit us, not to work against us. That's why the devil works so hard to get you to speak his word, to put yourself in bondage so that his will be done in your life. He can't just do stuff. The devil can't just do stuff. He has no dominion in this earth. He's the God of this world through one way, deception. And if he can get you to speak his word, if he can get this left-wing lunatic over here to speak his word, you know, and really, I mean, you got to be a lunatic to follow the devil. But if you, then you can launch propaganda, you can subvert people's belief system, you can do that, and that's how he does, that's how he rules the world. He goes into the Pope, and he says, you know what, you need to clear this, you need to accept people. Look what happened. I mean, he said the gay marriage and stuff like that is okay. Not according to the word that doesn't change. What did it say? Ever since, Jesus even verified this, ever since the beginning, a husband and a wife, that's what marriage is. Right. Jesus verified that. So you can take it up with him. It's not my opinion. It's what he said. Proverbs 6 verse 2 says this, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. This is big. Yes. You are snared with the word. This is why he works so hard to get you to speak his word. The devil does. He comes up with this, that, and the other thing. Aggravation, frustration, this problem, that problem, and everything until you get to start speaking what his attitude is, what his will is for your life. And he gets it, and it says, you're snared. You're snared by your words, and you're taken. That word means taken prisoner. You're held by, there are so many people held in bondage by the words that they have spoken. And that may not sound like really good news, but really it is, because if you're the one who got you into that, then your words, you can change them, and you can get yourself out.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Amen.
Praise God. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Look at this. It doesn't say the power of death and life. No, those are simply laws. The death and life are in the power of what?
The tongue.
Your words. That's where the power is, and the devil knows it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. God created you to operate in the law of life, the spirit of life, the law of the spirit of life in Christ. That's why he's designed you, so that the word of God, your words, will work for you, not against you. He's telling the truth here. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I mean, if you speak death over your life, which is negativity, expecting bad things to happen and all this, and you give your words over to that, those words are going to produce what? The fruit. It says, they that love it shall eat the fruit. God designed you to reap the fruits of life. Amen. The fruits of blessing. The fruits of integrity and honor and power and joy and peace and all the attributes of life itself. That's what he wants you to speak, because that's what he wants you to eat the fruit of. Yes. Boy, this is good. Thank you, Jesus. Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. One day Kenneth Hagin was reading this, and the Lord said, Kenneth, yes, sir. Did you ever notice that I focused 3 times on saying and only once on believing in this? Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. 3 times he talks about saying, and once he talks about believing. And Kenneth said, okay. He said, Kenneth, I'm telling you this because here's what I want you to know and I want you to preach. You need to preach 3 times as much on saying as you do on believing. And when you do, your people are going to find out that they can actually school their minds, school themselves into faith by what they say. This is why meditation has more to say about what you speak than what you actually mull over and ponder over. Does that make sense? Because, look, I mean, everything follows your words. Yes. Death and life are in the power of the power of your tongue. If you want to get unsnared and unimprisoned in life, start talking life. Start talking blessing. Amen. Start talking what you want, the best thing. Start writing down some promises in the Word of God and start speaking them into your life on a regular basis. See, here's why meditation works. We have an inner ear and an outer ear. I've said this before, so if you've heard this, forgive me. There are other people here who haven't. But this came from Charles Capps, by the way. He had a wonderful revelation on words. Just amazing. But he said this. Well, here's an example. Have you ever heard yourself on a tape recording? Did it sound like you?
No, it sounds weird.
I remember, I was a little kid. This was like late 50s, early 60s. My dad brought home a reel-to-reel tape recording. We had fun. We were all recording. And then he played it back and listening to it. My sister sounded exactly like my sister. My brother sounded exactly like my brother. My father sounded exactly, and my mother sounded exactly like her. But when I knew that those were the words I spoke. But it didn't sound like me. I said, who is that? My dad said, that's you. So you hear yourself with your inner ear, and you have an inner ear, which is actually the ear of your heart, your ear of your spirit. And when you speak something out, what your inner ear does is take that word and put it right down inside of you. And you start building that truth into your heart. You start building that truth into your heart. Building it and building, speaking it. And that word has a pounding effect, and it starts ridding you of unbelief and fear and doubt and confusion and starts to settle things. And you have an assurance that rises up in you that all comes from the word. And your ear keeps on putting it down and putting it down and putting it down there. And it starts to accumulate and overflow. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when you believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth, you'll have whatsoever you say. Amen. Whosoever shall have whatsoever, when whosoever speaks whatsoever in faith. How's that? From Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God places a supreme value in the words we speak. God wants blessing to come in our life, not cursing. He wants life to come and the fruits of life to come in our life and not the fruits of death.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Jesus called these things seed. They will grow up and become greater. Declare it, declare it, declare it, declare it, declare it. The Word is a living, living thing. And the definition, again, once of meditation is, first of all, it's the first word is murmur. Ponder, imagine, meditate, mutter, roar. I'm a believer, we will roar. In numbers too big to ignore. Remember that song by Helen Reddy?
Yeah.
You can change the words. Kind of showing my age there, but I don't care. My youth is renewed like the eagle. Roar, speak, study, talk, and utter. Boy, I'll tell you something. You need to utter it and mutter it and utter it and mutter it until the devil shudders. Shudders it and stutters it until he ends up in a gutter over it. Gutter. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. This is how you displace images, pictures in your mind. This is how you displace the memories of the past that keep on accusing you, that keep on coming and say, you know what, this is who you are. And you, no, I have a new identity now. I'm in Christ. I am a son of the living God. I'm a Christian. I am a believer. I have been recreated. I am going somewhere to happen. I have the blessing of God on my life. I am blessed. I am not cursed. I am righteous. I am heaven bound, and I'm leaving that stuff in the dust of my feet.
Yeah.
And the devil. All the, I shall, whatever.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus did that. He's just kind of peeking now. He's got one eye. He's got defanged, declawed. Praise God. See, Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. This is the way we got to look at our words. Stop looking at your words as being optional. They're not. I mean, this, you need to settle this, and you need to let heaven... That is, the word that's forever settled in heaven concerning you. You need to let that come down and it just explode in your heart and blast all that stuff out. And just realize who you really are. Jesus really did die. And there's too many Christians living life like Jesus never went to the cross, never rose from the dead, never made all things new, never forgave them. They're always working for something. God didn't design you to punish you with what Jesus already paid for. You cannot pay for your own sins by being punished for sickness and bad things happening to you and all these. He doesn't work that way. He doesn't teach you that way. He gave you the Holy Spirit to teach you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
This is really simple. But God loves you with a passion that you cannot even imagine in your mind, but His Word contains that passion. Renew your mind with it. Start speaking it and speaking it and speaking it, saying it and saying it and saying it. Because God will. Look, people are still struggling. Is it God's will for me to speak in tongues? Is it God's will for me to be healed? Is it God's will for me to be prosperous? Is it God's will? Is it God's will? Is it God's? Why do we always have to blame God on His will? Is there any inkling that you may have something to do with this in cooperation with Him? I mean, where do we go to find the will of God? Where do we go to find the will of God? It's right here. This is his last will and testament.
Amen.
This is a covenant that's sealed with the blood. This is a covenant that cannot fail. If it failed, God would have to destroy himself. He walked through that blood and said, if this doesn't happen, what they did to that lamb, what they did to Jesus, do that to me. This is how sure I am. And when we join our faith with his, you gotta understand, well, this keeps on happening. This keeps on happening. This keeps on happening. Why are you saying that? Why are you saying that? Put an end to it. It's not happening anymore for me.
Amen.
I'm a new creation.
Amen.
Old things have what?
Passed away.
I'm going to close with this because we're getting past our time. You noticed? Okay, good. Maybe I shouldn't have brought that up. The very nature of the Word of God in this earth is to manifest, is to be made flesh. When Jesus sent the word, when the angel spoke to Mary, I mean, the word was made flesh. The very nature of the word, when God speaks his word, he wants it to become your reality. He wants it to become flesh in your life. He wants it to become something that you can see and feel, the blessings of manifestation. We're going to get into this next week. We're going to talk about manifestation keys, how to turn those keys to unlock the manifestations of the Spirit. You need to come back for that. That's a good one. Because this is going to literally make things so available and for so accessible. God is more accessible than you can figure out.
Amen.
And all of his, it's all accessible. It's all vested in the covenant to come and freely drink, freely receive. But that's the nature of the word, is to be made flesh in our life. Whether it's healing, whether it's financial prosperity, whether it's divine relationships, whether it's reconciliation, whatever. All of these things are designed in the Word of God to work for us. We've got to start speaking that.
Amen.
Another thing Kenneth Hagin heard from the Lord one day, he says, I told my people they can have what they say, but they're just saying what they have. There's a world of difference between those two. Don't say what you have. Start saying his word and you will have what you say, because you'll start believing what he said. Thank you, Jesus. You're wonderful to us. Miracles have been released today. Miracles. Everybody say this. I'm equipped. I'm empowered. I'm encouraged. I can go forth confident that what things soever I ask him, according to his will, I know he hears us. It's his will to hear me. Therefore, I have the petition that I ask of him. I am healed and whole. I am blessed and prosperous. The blessing of God is alive and working in me. Oh, trabajando mis barate. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Wonderful. You're dismissed. There's refreshments in the cafe. Need prayer for anything?